life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite.
Thanks for listening. I'm Brian Smith, the man who may be called Jack at some point during the next hour. And this is episode 35 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, the man who recently declared himself pro-cat, Anthony Askew.
Hello.
And we are joined by a woman who is a triple threat. She's an animator. She's a taekwondist. Taekwondoist, sorry. I mispronounced my bad mispronunciation. And she'll teach your Korean children English via the use of X-Men villains. It's Grace Chan!
Yay, that's me.
It is you. Yes, I did remember from your Facebook the picture of you teaching people English using a picture of Apocalypse.
That was actually part of the lesson plan. That was nothing to do with me.
That has nothing to do with you.
I just observed it and documented it.
We're here to talk. This is another one of our look back at a show or film from 10 years ago and see whether it still holds up today.
Okay.
And which we try to do every month, normally with a guest. And the film we're doing today is The Cat Returns, the 2002 Studio Ghibli film, directed by Marita Hiroyuki. And do you want to have a go at doing the plot, Anthony?
I'll have a blast. I'll give it a go. Well, it centres around young schoolgirl Haru, who... She's just a regular old school girl. She goes to school, whatnot. She's got a crush on this cool guy. And I thought I was going to do a good job. And on the way home from school, she sees a cat running out onto the street, busy road, and almost gets squashed by a van. She runs out, saves it with a lacrosse stick. Is it a stick or a rod? Or a... What are they called? Implement. The cross implement and sweeps the cat into safety, where from then she gets an unexpected visit from cats from the cat world. And from there on out, lots of thrills and spills ensue. Are we allowed to give stuff away? I don't know.
Yes, it's 10 years old. We can spoil the hell out of it.
All right, fair enough then.
And
basically, the king of the cats... He demands that she marries his son, the prince, and she doesn't want to. They end up in the cat world, and it all goes topsy-turvy.
Well, and... did you... I don't think you mentioned the
what
parent.
What a spoiler! Topsy-turvy, what? From nowhere.
I can't see this film now. Now I know it goes topsy-turvy. Ruined.
Well, I'm forgetting.
Just gave away the plot.
Characters here. Meanwhile, between all of this,
there's Muta, the fat embassy. Cat.
Yes, there's Muta. There's the Baron. Baron, what's his name?
And there's a bird.
Baron
von Gergen. Baron.
I just called it the Baron.
I've got him down as a Baron.
Yeah, they're Baron.
And Tutu Baron the
von Toy.
Baron Humbert von Giffigen.
Oh, nice. Well, anyway, she goes to them as the cat embassy and in an attempt to avoid this marriage.
I thought it was the cat bureau.
But it's stupid because it says it's a cat bureau, but there's no cats there because the only cat is the Baron and he's a doll of a cat because he has five fingers and he wears shoes. So there's no cats in the cat embassy. It's madness. Topsy-turvy.
And he lives in a part of town where
anyone can get to.
No, artifacts which have been given a great deal of love and attention in their sculpting can come alive. So he's a sculptor.
I could think of a lot of artifacts that should be in there. Love and attention artifacts. This film should have been way better.
In production, not use, Grace.
All right.
Oh, goodness.
Maybe there's room for a sequel.
And Muta's a real cat.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
who hangs out
a large cat. But not particularly that large.
He hangs out.
He's pretty fat.
It is big, but I've seen bigger cats wandering around here. My end.
Yeah, they're northern cats.
Yeah, true.
They've got to be tough to hang out with new cats.
But yeah, she goes to the bureau, and the Baron offers to help. And the... What's the little guy with the horrible slicked... The cat with the slick...
Oh, bear with me. He is played... I watched the dub version this time around.
That is, yes.
It is Natoru.
Yeah, and he's basically the kind of... The slimy... ambassador, what do you call him?
Well, he's they're like... There's Natori and Natoru, and they're like the right-hand man of the Cat King.
Yeah, yeah. And he turns up to take Haru to the cat world so the wedding can take place.
Well, yeah, because he's misunderstood... He didn't properly listen to her when he was talking to her before, and he actually thinks that she does want to marry the prince. And that's why he's taking her away.
And the prince is very handsome, so I don't want to see...
For a cat.
As cats go, he's
in comparison to some of the other cats, yes.
And then everything goes topsy-turvy, and the I don't know how to describe it, really.
Well, yeah, she goes to
take her beyond the brain.
It's just okay. Something.
Go for it, Grace.
Oh, it's just a big ramble of, like, I don't know. There's no, like, direct story of, like, things building upon things. It's like, they go here and they go there, and then they're in the maze, and then they go in a tower, and then they're in the sky, and it's like, it doesn't make any sense. None of it makes sense. This film. I hate this film.
Change your tune, because I remember what you said coming out of it when we saw it in Dublin.
What did we say?
I believe the comment was that you wanted to marry the Baron.
I thought that very thing.
But he didn't have five fingers on each hand. Better than the other cats.
But he's very small in the real world, though.
But he's so only about am I.
I'm sure you're not as small in height as the Baron. Though he is very dapper in his dress sense.
Well, I did like his fashion sense better than the other cats, because most of them were naked. Some of them had bows around their necks. So.
Oh, speaking of bows, Yuki, the white cat. Oh, she's lovely. As cats go, she's lovely. Oh. There's something I want to mention about her, but I'll get to that later.
Okay, yeah. So basically, I'll pick up the slack here, because I
see good, good. Sure this
remembered what the plot was.
Yes.
She gets taken to the cat world.
Where... There is no plot, though.
There is. It's like Alice in Wonderland type plot. It's basically the Baron's told her to remember who she is, but then she gets distracted by the cat world and starts wondering whether it would be nice to marry a cat. And the more she does that, the more she turns into a cat.
Very well done, Brian.
And...
I could not have said it better myself, literally.
Moot has gone with her, but the Crow and Baron are left.
Topsy-turvy.
Are left behind. Yeah. Moot ends up inside a bowl of catnip jelly, trapped inside, and there's like a wedding party where... The king brings loads of entertainers to try and cheer up Haru.
Which doesn't seem to work. And
the
they
princess
get...
isn't even...
Until the Baron shows up to try and rescue her. They go on the run, through a maze, up a tower. There's loads of action, a bunch of fights. Prince
and
turns
all
up,
gets very teary-eyed.
Sort everything out, and they finally escape the cat world.
Well done.
It's not that topsy-turvy.
When does it get teary-eyed?
It is! Oh, I got teary-eyed. I really did. It got to,
I was
some
teary with irritation.
No. Cause, see, there's something that I really overlooked when I watched it, and that I didn't click until it happened and the big reveal kind of came about. And that's when the prince first speaks to Haru after he gets rescued. She tells her mother about it. And then her mother retells a story about when she fed this little kind of lost cat. And that turns out to be Yuki. I didn't see that coming at all. Did you two?
Yes.
Oh, come on, there's only two white cats in the movie. One's a dude and Matthew.
To be honest,
fat,
I thought that
the other one is
a boy.
Cat.
I thought that was like, the little lost one was a little boy cat, a Tomcat. But no, that really got to me. And I was like, that is the sweetest thing anyone could ever show me, ever. And it's it was really sweet.
One thing that just kind of distracted me in that scene is like this: the girl Haru is eating the box of biscuits, and all of a sudden the cat's there, so she starts feeding the cat biscuits. I don't know any cat that eats biscuits except for cat biscuits. So then Haru must be eating cat biscuits. It doesn't make any sense.
Shift, maybe the cat's a silly cat and thinks it's fish.
Yeah, haven't they got some sort of
fish flavouring, perhaps?
I can't recall. I'm sure they explain them better in... Because they show up in Azumanga Daioh as well.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, because there's loads of cats in that too, isn't there?
They're famous cat biscuits for humans.
There may well be. Oh, fish-shaped... There we go.
I just found this sentiment very sweet. And the fact that Yuki remembered Haru, and it's beautiful. Because this was actually the second time I watched this, and the first time I got about halfway through and gave up. So this time I sat down, gave it 100% attention. I fell in love. You can have the Baron, and I'll have Yuki.
Okay.
I'm not sure I want the Baron anymore. Maybe I'll have the Prince, eh? You can have Yuki. Split them up.
Oh, this is very topsy-turvy.
Righty-ho, okay.
So what's with the cat biscuits, then?
I didn't find them. I found fish-shaped cakes. That might be what they're supposed to be. Taiyaki.
Ah, right, I see.
Most common filling is red bean paste. Other common fillings include custard, chocolate, or cheese.
Oh, they got them in Korea, but they're not really biscuits. They're kind of like...
pancake
like
and waffle
donuts.
Butter.
Yeah, they're like donuts with like stuff in them.
Yeah,
cats don't eat them either. Lies. This film is all about lies.
But this cat was really hungry. It was on the streets. It was starving.
It was... fish-shaped food.
Exactly.
It looked like a normal cat, except its paws were a little bit dirty. That's it. It didn't look starving at all. It's quite healthy. There was no mange. It wasn't feral. Come on.
You told it to book its ideas up. Get a job.
Yeah, go get a job, lazy cat. Scrounging off society.
But it's only a kids' film, remember?
What are we teaching children today? It's okay to go begging our strangers.
Oh, goodness.
Right,
stalking them, even. The cat was following the girl, stalking them, and then begging. That's even worse.
Well, kids are easy to trick into feeding animals. You have to stop them doing it in zoos. Like, please don't feed the animals, because that's what kids love to do. I think humans in general, given half the chance, will feed some animals.
Yeah, it's good fun.
Ducks, cats.
Yeah, lions, if you could. That'd be good.
What's my notes I've got here? The one thing which did annoy me is right at the start is that Haru is one of these energetic teens in anime who are, despite having all this energy, are also always late. You never get a teen who gets up late and then slovenly goes to school, not in a hurry whatsoever.
Yeah, because they're already late.
Exactly. Or someone who's got a massive amount of energy and say they're up early, which she isn't. She does actually turn into that at the end. But you want somebody with energy channeled into horrible efficiency, like Tracy Flick from Election. You never see that, so I was like, oh,
I haven't, no.
Not another one of these characters. I was like, but thankfully,
if she sleeps in, that's where she gets her energy from.
You slept in today, and you've got no energy.
Yeah, I'm barking up the wrong tree with this one.
Yeah, I did notice that. She does like a 100-meter dash to the school. It's a bit crazy. It's like she must be stinking by the time she gets there.
I never thought of that.
Maybe that's how the teacher knew she was there, because she was sneaking in the back pretty good. But somehow he knew. It was the smell gave her away.
See, Brian, with you saying that annoys you, I didn't really pick up on that as much as you did, obviously, but I think Haru is probably the best character in it.
Oh, yeah, she is. I liked the dub with Anne Hathaway doing the voice.
Mm, yeah, really good voice acting on that.
Because some of the voice acting, you can kind of, it does sound just like the actor in a studio recording a voice rather than
like Elliot Gould.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of.
He was a weak link of that bunch.
It didn't sound like a crow talking. It sounded like a crow flapping its mouth while Elliot Gould was off somewhere in the studio. Sounding like Elliot Gould.
Oh, but Haru's fantastic as far as I'm concerned.
Anne Hathaway is reprising this sort of role in the new Batman film, isn't she? Where she's playing another character.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Oh, I misunderstood
something right as Haru. So.
Well, and also being Anne Hathaway, who's a really good actress. We've got Kerry Elwes, who's the Baron.
Right.
And I just wonder whether he got cast just because it's a similar sort of thing he was doing in Princess Bride. Going to rescue somebody, being forced to marry somebody they don't want to. Mm. You got Peter Boyle as Muta. Do you know Peter Boyle?
I don't. I did check out their IMDb's, and I can't remember which one he was now.
Well, he's so the cat, he played the dad in...
Everyone Loves Raymond.
Yes,
I know who he is.
And obviously Young Frankenstein, he was the monster as well. And a bunch of others.
I do like Young Frankenstein.
So you've got Elliot Gould as Toto the Crow, Tim Curry as the Cat King.
Which I clicked on straight away. I said, that's got to be Tim Curry.
Doing his best Barry White impression.
He's very sleazy when he first turns up.
I do like the Cat King's my favourite character.
Really?
Yeah, just because of his mad eyes.
Mm.
And how berserk he goes at the end. Absolutely losing it. And then there's a... who else is there? Oh, Christine Sutherland, always playing the mums. Plays Harry's mum.
Yeah, who is she? I couldn't...
She was Buffy's mum in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, right. She does have a very homely, motherly voice. As voices go, she could be anyone's mother. I agree.
you agree with yourself.
I do. Someone's got to agree
you
with
you. Agree
me.
With the casting.
I do. I think they've done a damn good job.
Yeah, and you got René Auberjonne. I always want to pronounce his name Aubergine. I don't think I actually really know how to pronounce his name. Wasn't he the shape-shifting guy in Deep Space Nine?
I don't know. Who is he in this?
He's the elder right-hand man. The comedian Andy Richter's the little one with the parting in his fur.
Right. Yeah, he's a sleazy character and all.
I don't think he's sleazy. I think he's just eager. He's just ridiculously eager. Like when he hands the... I haven't brought the button which blows up the tower. Oh, I have.
I think it's got some really good little gags. Even, I don't know what they'd be like watching it in Japanese, but I think the dub does a great job of... There's a line that tickled me where Muta wants to stay with Haru while she gets changed, and the guy's like, oh, well, there's food in here, and he's like, okay, I'll go. I just think the delivery lines are pretty good.
I watched it in the with subs, like not with the dub ever, so I don't really know what it's like, but I don't know, I just prefer subs, really. And the voice acting was very good, as far as I know. I haven't a clue who those people are, though.
I probably would have listened to it in Japanese, but I felt a bit lazy watching it. So I thought, I can't be bothered to read as well as watching. So
that was why I watched the dub as well.
Mm-hmm. But it's a good dub.
It is pretty good, yeah. I don't think I've seen many of the Ghibli dubs.
I've seen Howl's Moving Castle in dub.
Who's on
Christian
that?
Christian Bale,
yeah. Oh,
that's it.
That's all you know. Christian Bale, that's it.
What voice is he doing in that one?
Howl.
I know, what voice, what Christian Bale voice is he doing?
It's a semi-Batman.
I can't remember now.
I don't think he can remember what his actual Bale voice sounds like anymore either.
I think he's doing his Hollywood Bale voice. Hollywood Bale.
Hollywood Bale, not
Holly Bale.
What are the notes I got? Oh, I like the way the prince walks near the start with his attitude when he's carrying his little box. So I think they do a good job of making a cat walk like he's a prince.
Yeah, like I thought the animation for the cats and stuff was really cool. And, you know, when they went from like being like humans standing on back legs and then going back to being cats, like all the movement seemed like pretty real. There wasn't any like mixed kind of stuff going on there.
Yeah, and when they're on the hind legs, they do look like cats who've been put up on the hind legs, like when you grab the cat's front paws and try and
pick
on their hind legs. They love that. try it with your cat. If you've got a cat, try it.
I'm sure they'll love it.
I really like the security cats as well.
Yes, I was going to get to that. They just crack me up. Oh, brilliant. A question, are they wearing suits, or is that like the happen to be their fur pattern?
I think it's just their pattern.
Brilliant. The way they kick the kind of the human world cats away from the like the kind of parades, brilliant. Oh, good stuff.
Yeah, I'd like to know what the idea was with like those cats. Why the human cats really hated the royal cats, whether they were being kicked out the same way Muta had fled.
Andy
Richter's the cat Andy Richter was playing, the one with the parting. When I watched the Japanese dub, I thought that cat was female originally.
Oh, really?
It turns out not, he's male. It's more clear in the... I like the cat's ideas of what humans would like as gifts.
Yeah. The locker of mice was pretty good.
Yeah. I like the cat language as well, which you briefly see on that note they give her.
What, with the little doodles and...
Yes, like the cat hieroglyphics.
Yeah.
Because the reason Haru's feeling all self-doubty, which we didn't mention, is she's pining after this boy who's got a girlfriend, but she wants to be his girlfriend. And her best friend's got a boyfriend who we get told is really cool and good at sport, and then you get a cutaway to the sport he actually does, which is ping pong.
All right. I didn't realise that she was his girlfriend. I just thought she liked him.
That could be it, yeah. I don't know. I wasn't paying too much attention at that point. I just looked up and thought that was a good gag that she'd gone on and on about how cool he was, and then...
Table tennis is pretty cool.
Yeah. It's very manly playing table tennis.
I know people who play table tennis, and I can tell you it's not cool.
Western table tennis isn't cool. Asian table tennis. That's where it's at. They just
have
go
to
for
YouTube
days.
Some for days. I'll YouTube after this.
What else we got? Oh, I like the travelling as the catwalks bit to get to the cat bureau when she has to follow Muta, and Muta doesn't take any account that she's a human being and just travels over roofs. Oh, I had a question, is because when they get to the bureau, Muta sits down and reads a paper, and my question was, who on earth is delivering the paper there?
I don't know, like, who lives in these little houses? I mean, the whole world, I mean, in that little world where the bureau is, and then also in the cat world, it didn't really seem very fleshed out like a lot of Ghibli films, like to even like a quarter of the degree that the other worlds are. I mean, where the bureau is, it just seems like, okay, the bureau's there. Who lives in the other buildings, though? What are they for? You don't know. Like, you know,
yeah,
it just seems
I know
very
what you mean, yeah.
It was originally meant just to be a short as well, if I remember correctly. The plan was like to do a short for a theme park.
Yeah, I read that as well.
And it just kept on growing. 20-minute theme park short starring cats.
Yeah. It does kind of feel like that. The story feels like a bit of a ramble. It kind of like started here and I end up there, and not like a concise, we're going to plan this out, like in a systematic operation of storytelling, you know?
I have to say, I quite liked the fact that it was only 75 minutes rather than 2 hours, though.
Agreed.
Agreed. I mean,
not to say I couldn't watch any longer, because it's good, but I think it's the ideal length.
Yeah,
it was a good length for that.
Because I think they're really just going for gags rather than anything
else.
Because it's the most, I think it's the funniest Ghibli film that I've seen. I've not seen the...
I thought Grave of the Fireflies is pretty good. What's not to love? Eating frogs is hilarious.
Oh, but yeah, Carrie Turns is pretty funny. But mind you, I got emotionally attached with the whole, as I've said, the whole Yuki thing. I didn't see it coming.
Either of you seen Whisper of the Heart, the other Ghibli film with the Baron?
Yeah, with the doll. I actually got confused with parts of that movie with The Cat Returns when I was remembering, and then I had to rewatch Cat Returns and thought, oh, that was a whole other film I was thinking about.
Because I do not like Whisper of the Heart.
That one. That's so awesome. It's so, boy and girl. Like, oh, it's so cute.
Yeah, I just thought I found it emotionally manipulative.
That's what girls like.
How can it be better than The Cat Returns? The Cat Returns is full of cats.
Yeah, I don't like cats. That's why.
Well, at least the Baron's in Whisper of
the
Heart.
I like human boys. one thing that kind of bugged me a little bit about The Cat Returns was the story arc, the character development of Haru. It didn't seem terribly clear. At the beginning, she's disorganized and late, and she's pining after this guy she can't get, and she probably puts a lot of her self worth in that or something, because comparing herself to the guy's girlfriend, and then at the end. She doesn't care that that guy broke up with his girlfriend, and that shows that she became a stronger person. And
but maybe she's just still in love with the Baron.
Maybe. But
Go on.
But in the middle is the Baron keeps saying, oh, you gotta be who you are or remember who you are or something like that. And there wasn't any really clear decisions that she made that, brought out who she was, except for the one where she kind of stands up to the king. That was the only clear decision. And so it didn't really seem like she grew. It's just kind of oh, I'll just decide I'm a different person now, and then I can get the happy ending, pretty much.
Yeah, so. I know what you mean, actually.
Dismissing
the stationary.
Now you guys tell me that the central plot of the greatest video game of the 1990s is worthless as well, like Parappa the Rapper.
But that was a noble goal of wanting to be a rapper.
But it's the same thing. You got to believe. And that's what she had to do. She had to believe in herself.
Yeah, believing in yourself is good. You should do that. But I don't see what she did as believing in herself. It's just a load of madness happened while your man kept saying, believe in yourself. And she's like, I'm running away and doing all this other stuff. And then all of a sudden, she's like, yeah, I believe in myself. And then that was it. It was there was no growth. It was black and white, pretty much.
Like I said, I think it's just for gags.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to worry too much. Because the guy, I wrote some of the gags I liked down. I like the Cat King's CCTV and the fact that he had a huge VHS collection of the things he'd apparently been recording with his giant floating cat eyes.
God knows what they are.
Giant eye with a remote.
Yeah. I like the cat entertainment as well.
Yeah, they're pretty funny.
The fact that they had two dogs there as well, and the dogs didn't walk on their hind legs. So I don't know whether they'd somehow enslaved dogs in there.
It's like a little Westie or something, the dog.
Yeah. It
just retreats into the...
But yeah, these dogs are still sentient enough to step back.
Yeah, and be able to perform an entertainment act. Maybe it was a cat in a suit?
Possibly.
You never know. You never know.
I think they're real dogs.
Probably. I'm just being stupid.
I like the cat executioners. Just the fact that you just carry on hearing the sound of the people they've thrown out the window for a few seconds after you've seen them being thrown out the window. and the fact when they're outside the castle later, you see those two cats perfectly okay sitting on the floor. Because they're cats, they land on their feet. Throw them out the window isn't going to do them any harm.
Unless you're a security guard and have been thrown, and then they land on their faces and butts.
One thing I do want to say about this that I did like is when I was a kid, I'd say I was watching like one of these fantasy films where the character goes to another world or like another reality and meets new characters and stuff. I used to hate it when they'd kind of tie it up as if it was possibly all a dream or that they'll never see these characters again. But I like the fact that this, it kind of, you can assume that she's going to see these characters again. And I think, I don't know whether that's just me, the kid inside of me saying, yes, she'll still see the Baron, they're still friends, and that it wasn't a dream. Because if it had all been a dream, I would have been infuriated.
Well, if you watch Whisper of the Heart, prepare to be infuriated.
Oh. But all it a is dream. A good movie. It's a good movie. better than Cat.
Well, if it's all a dream... Like,
Well, it's not all a dream.
It's not all a dream, but the segment with the Baron is quite small.
Yeah. The whole Baron saying goodbye to Haru was a bit disturbing, where like he's stroking her cheek to try and like be like, oh, it's okay. But like he's using his whole hand and it's tiny on her face. And that was just after she said that she had a crush on him or something. And then you're just kind of like...
I thought they were going
Nothing could ever happen. Like, the size of him, she'd just eat him, and then that would be the end.
I would have liked a kiss scene in that point in time. That would have just tied it all up beautifully.
Suffocate him with her giant tongue.
No, it wouldn't be a kiss of tongues, it's a kid's film. Oh, goodness. So how has it compared? How has it aged well, 2002?
My thought was there's a lot more gags than I remember from when I first saw it. But the other thing was, I also thought it took them longer to get to the cat world than I remembered as well.
When they go pretty quick.
They do, but I still thought it was quicker. But then I'd forgotten all the gags at the start with them, all giving all the gifts.
Yeah.
And all that nonsense.
Forgot all the nonsense.
Obviously, it's changed in Grace's eyes because, as I remember walking out,
was she its biggest fan? Well, the Baron's biggest.
She wanted to meet marry the Baron.
Yeah, he is cool. Although looking at him now, it's just kind of like he's just a one-dimensional character, pretty much.
Yeah, he's just every character Carrie Elwes generally plays, which is rather because if you ask him to do anything more than that, he's not very good. But. You just ask him to carry, be posh. Got it.
Okay. With the whole Baron romance thing said, I've just remembered, and this literally just jogged into my memory. When I was a kid, I went to see Puss in Boots at the theatre, and a woman played Puss in Boots, and I was in love with Puss in Boots as a child because of that. And I remember... My mom
with the character or the actress?
Both. I don't know what it was. My mom sent me a Valentine's card and it said from Puss in Boots. I was only really young at the time. That's quite embarrassing. I should have really kept that to myself.
Does that mean that you're furry then?
No.
Young furry.
possibly it was trying to... The furry inside was trying to explode out, but I was only maybe... I'll have to come back to you on the age, but I was very young.
That is what pantomimes are for, to sexually confuse you.
It apparently did a good job.
Old women are played by men, young boys are played by women.
Yes.
I don't think I ever went to a pantomime as a kid.
Yeah.
I used to go to sooty shows instead.
In Scarborough.
Cool. Yeah, he's back. Yeah, they early mornings on the weekends, they're showing a new sooty thing.
Oh, God.
Is he in 3D?
He's not in 3D. But I was in a KFC, and there was one of these like little rides that children go on. It was like a bus, and the parents were trying to... Because the child kept on pointing to sweep and saying that was sooty. And they're going, no, no, no. That's sooty. That's
I would have got very annoyed.
And where's Sue the Panda, the only one that can talk?
I think she was on the picture there as well. She's still in the show. I think she may be anyone with the same voice.
Oh, that's good. Is there any new characters?
She was the only one with a voice. I don't know. I didn't watch much of it. I just got caught enough to see that the puppetry was generally
as bad.
Up to pretty. As bad.
I used to love Sooty and Sweep. VHS. I've got one somewhere.
Right. Anyway, slight divergence. What other notes have I got here? Yeah, like the blind cat accordion player. The Mr. Gag, though, they should have had a violin player as well. It's obviously the cat gut joke. And I liked all the different cat nationalities. Oh, and of course, the golf bag.
Yeah.
With the little Puma logo.
That brought a little smirk to me. I see what you've done there, I said. I see what you've done.
Right. Oh, Grace had some excellent questions she wanted to ask us.
Oh, yes. Hats off, Grace, for these.
Which was, if you were to turn this from a G-rated movie into an R-rated 18s movie, what scenes would you add to give the higher age rating that would also add to the story?
Who's going first?
Brian! Brian should go first.
Okay, those cats would have died when they threw them out the window.
Aww. Yeah.
The cat violence would be much more realistic.
300-esque. Fighting, I think, in the maze would have done it.
Oh, that's amazing.
Moving walls of cat bodies.
And of course, we'd have the kiss at the end for Anthony.
Yes, yes. It wouldn't have been an R-rated kiss, though.
Well, I don't know how far you're allowed to kiss cats in ratings.
Well, I'm sure if it's just
like get it ex-certificated.
Jesus Christ. How far are you allowed kiss cats? That's a good question. That is a good question.
I'll write to the BBFC and ask.
Yeah.
Just a question. Just out of curiosity, there isn't any specific reason why I need to know.
And is there a difference between live action and animated cat kissing?
Ooh, live action cat kissing would be strange. I'm sure there's plenty of that on YouTube with people. Just gentle kisses, nothing R-rated. What have you got, Grace? What's your 18?
I don't know. Shower scene at the beginning. That'll do it. Just add interest, I think.
That's that Street Fighter the movie influence coming.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or maybe that's the reason why she's late in the morning, because she took a really long shower, and then there you go. Full frontal showering, and then the rest of it can stay as is.
Oh, you vulgar people, Anna, my 18's nothing like this.
Yeah, yours is bestiality. Yours is worse.
No, I'm going to get to mine. Mine's nothing like that.
Hey, what's yours then, Anthony? Far away.
Well, I would do a complete story revision. Haru, young girl, she'd be bullied at school every day. She gets beaten up, and basically what she does is she takes this anger out on a cat by killing it. And listen, wait for it. And basically all the cats from the cat world come back to this world to get revenge.
By marrying the prince.
then they take to the cat world, and they make her a pet. So as cats are in this world, as a pet, as a domestic animal, she becomes their kind of pet, and, you know, it's very, very sinister.
You just made a whole new movie there.
Exactly. There's an idea there, and it's very sinister. No shower scenes. No shower.
That's no good. Not even a cat shower scene. Well, I guess they just
lick themselves.
So that could be 18.
Thankfully, yeah.
They just have humanoid cats licking themselves.
That's okay. My cat returns. I know what the title would be.
Here's the other question Grace sent us, which was, if the cat returns was to be brought up and made into a Hollywood live-action version directed by Michael Bay, which actors do you think would be cast in the leading roles, and what differences would there be to the original? Now, I struggled with this because I'm not that familiar with Michael Bay films, so I went for
really?
A different...
Transformers. Yeah. Anything blue and orange and annoying.
The last one I saw was Armageddon, which I still hold against John for taking us to see that.
Armageddon is awesome.
Oh, it's not.
It's not. I wanted to walk out. If I wasn't with so many friends, I would have done. We got to the cinema. I said, okay, let's go watch Dr. Dolittle. With Eddie Murphy. And I was outvoted. And we went to see Armageddon.
Rightfully so.
And then we all agreed that we should have gone to see Dr. Dolittle when we got
there. Oh, no. Armageddon is by far his best movie. You can only imagine what Transformers is like.
I had a friend who told me that you should watch Transformers, you'll really be into it. And I was like, do you know me?
I know for a fact Ryan will hate that film.
I would like to sit beside you with a running commentary from you as you watch the movie. That would be good.
So all I know from Michael Bay is it would probably have John Malkovich in it. Because he always seems to cast him in action films. Because he wanted the new Transformers films and he was in Con Air.
Oh, yeah. Is Con Air, mate? Oh, geez.
No, I think he was involved in producing it.
Ah, that would make sense.
I can't remember. But yeah, not with Michael Bay. So I went for...
John Malkovich as which cast?
He'd probably be either the king or the king's elderly advisor. So I've got two versions here. So I've got one which would be, well, you can probably guess the theme. So the Baron would be played by Owen Wilson.
Wes Anderson special.
Mutu would be played by Jack Black.
Yeah, I can see that.
This is brilliant.
The Cat King would be played by John C. Reilly. And for Haru, well, it's a bit difficult because obviously she needs to be a schoolgirl, so they don't normally have schoolgirls in the films they're all appearing in together. So I just said, whichever of the Fannings is the oldest. Can't recall. And my other one was, if it was a Carry On, The Cat Returns, you'd have Sid James as the Baron. Bernard Breslau as Mutter. Major Domo, I think the older of the two henchmen, would be Charles Hawtrey. Toto would, of course, be Kenneth Connor, because he's always going core in the Carry On films.
Oh, very clever.
Crow.
Very clever.
Cat King would be Kenneth Williams.
Yep.
And, of course, Harry would be Barbara Windsor.
Oh, God. That would be good. Both of those would be brilliant, in fact. Not good. They'd be brilliant.
Well, that was always... Whenever they used to have, like, on 4chan, people would, like, do these casting things. I'd always cast it out of, like, the Owen Wilson, Jack Black, Stiller, Will Ferrell type movie.
Oh, I would see both of those.
Because I think probably today, you could probably take Owen Wilson out and it would probably be John Hamm playing the Baron.
Yeah, I never thought of that, actually. Yeah.
Because he's now getting those sort of handsome comedy roles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, have you two got any answers to this, or did I just do all the work for that?
I've got some. I'll jump ahead. Well, I didn't think so much as Michael Bay, more of just a Hollywood adaptation. And I thought for Haru, we'd have either Kristen Stewart from, obviously, Twilight, or whatever else she's done. As the Baron, we'd have Colin Firth. I think he would do a good job. And as Muta, we'd have Seth Rogen.
But he's lost a load of weight.
Well, see...
I can put it back on.
Well, I wasn't thinking somewhere... I think they'd wear maybe Planet of the Apes-esque suits as cats, if you know what I mean.
Okay,
anyway,
so you'd do it motion capture, would you?
No. Not 3D,
you mean the old Scott.
Old school, oh, yes, yeah. Old Planet. And we'd have the Cat King, Philip Seymour Hoffman as the Cat King.
Mm.
And that's all I've got. Because nobody else might. Because who would do the bird?
I don't know.
Maybe get Elliot Gould in. I don't know. Yeah, there's only four that count. Well, maybe Zac Efron as the prince or something. I don't know.
The things I said about Elliot Gould doing the voiceover. He's kind of like that nowadays when he's actually appearing live in things as well. It's like, oh, I'm Elliot Gould. Just doesn't seem to be quite in sync with the rest of the films he's in or TV programs.
Oh, Elliot.
Have you got an answer for that question, Grace?
I don't really have one, except for under going with the Michael Bay theme, Haru would obviously be Megan Fox, and the Baron would be, what's the other Nobbin's name? Shia LaBeouf, there you go.
Oh, goodness. Ugh.
But as for the other characters, I have no idea, actually. Maybe the Cat King could be Brendan Gleeson. He's big and fat.
Yeah.
And I was thinking for Muta, what's that dude from Hellboy?
Ron Perlman,
yeah. Except he's not very fat, but he's tough dude, so he's typecast.
Oh, I love a bit of Ron.
A bit of Ron.
I do, he's a good guy.
Ron and Chips.
Right, so, the other thing I want to mention is the Bureau reminded me a bit of Bagpuss. It's the fact of having a model cat come alive to solve problems. But obviously Bagpusses aren't quite as action-orientated. They're more just sort of fixing a broken baggy thing.
See, I've never seen Bagpuss. I don't know what the deal is.
Never seen Bagpuss?
Nah.
You've got to get on that. Classic.
Really?
Classic kids.
Is it good, though? Is it good? Or...
Yes, it's great.
Yeah. It's not going to be good now, though. You're old and you have thoughts of your own.
I would say if you need to watch one of them, watch the one with the chocolate digestive biscuit factory.
I'll try and get a hold of that somehow. Special.
It helps if you like folk music as well. But...
I can give it. Kate will leave it.
I watched a couple of episodes of Clangers over Christmas and that held up, so I'm sure.
Oh, Jesus. Really? Were you smoking?
No, I was testing my mum's DVD player out to make sure the HDMI cable worked.
Oh.
All right, Clangers is the best thing to test with.
Yeah, pretty much. It looked great. Upscaled Clangers.
Oh, I never thought that. Yeah,
I'm tempted. I was looking up prices on Paddington Bear DVDs as well.
Which is it?
On a nostalgia kick.
Yeah. Are they expensive? Are they out of print?
Not out of print, but they're not cheap. But you do get every single episode ever made. So
there's got to be a fair few.
That's the stop animation. Stop animation. Rather than the less good cartoon.
I noticed you've got a few lists in the notes.
Yes.
So cats and...
Where you thought the film fell in the pantheon of films about cats...
Let's have a look.
Above thing? Catwoman.
I've got any bottom, surely.
I don't know where. What's the best cat film ever?
Felix the Cat.
Well, there's.
What's that animated? Is that Felix the Cat? The animated one where that cat's shagging everything?
No, it's Fritz the Cat.
Fritz the Cat. All right. Well,
actually,
above Fritz
Bound.
The Cat.
I've watched Homeward Bound. I love that film.
Oh, that's the one where the live action one, isn't it? Where they're trying to get home.
That'd be good. But if we're going animated only, I'm going to say Felix. Love Felix the Cat. Lion King. Oh, the Aristocats.
Oh, I don't like the Aristocats. Oh, I do not like that. I don't like the O'Malley the Alley Cat's face. I didn't it doesn't look like a cat at all.
Really remember? Don't remember.
It's around the era when Walt Disney were unknowingly influencing what furry art would become.
Ah, I see.
I mean, Aristocats is bad, but Robin Hood's the main culprit.
Oh, Robin Hood's brilliant!
Right, you're fired from the podcast.
I've got that on DVD. I've got that on DVD.
You're sacked.
It is really good.
It is. Rewatch that, Brian. It's great.
Not, it's the worst. Even the people who made it hate it.
I haven't seen it in about 15 years, and I know
I'll... That's because they poured all their love into the movie.
No, they did not. They just copied old Disney movies and stuck animal heads on tops of human bodies. thus creating furry art.
Oh, nostalgia.
Yeah, I guess so.
But yeah, Felix, oh, Lion King. It's a tough one. There's some good...
Lion King has to be number one.
I don't know.
Heathcliff the movie. See, I think that's probably just episodes of Heathcliff edited together into a movie.
Hopefully.
Yes, it is. That is correct. He recalls his exploits to his three nephews and a mouse through a compilation of episodes originally broadcast on the TV series. And the cover is Heathcliff dressed as the Fonz. On the DVD.
I don't know. I think that just went up a spark for me.
I like the shot. Have you seen The Cat Came Back, the Canadian short animation?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, you got to see that. That is, I think that might be my favourite cat animation.
It's just a short, is it?
Yeah, it's, I can't remember how long it is. But basically, it's about an old man trying to kill a cat because it keeps on destroying his home. And every time he does, the cat comes back.
Ah,
I think I might have seen it.
Yeah, Rolf Harris used to play it all the time on Rolf's Cartoon Club, and then Tony Robinson did as well on Stay Tuned.
What's this Gay Puri film with Judy Garland?
Gay Puri.
Gay Puri.
I don't know. It looks fairly awful. Eva, the coolest cat who ever captured the happy heart of Paris.
See, it just makes me think of what's that French skunk called? What's
Pepe Le Pew. Then.
Pepe, it just kind of wants to be that.
I saw the other day that they're making a Pepe Le Pew movie.
What?
Live action. Live action.
It may well be. I didn't look further into it because I didn't want to be. I didn't want to know.
That sounds
great. I was always a big fan of Pepe.
Yeah, the problem is they did like a DVD of all his cartoons, and somebody pointed out, why would you want that? Because the plot of each cartoon is exactly the same. We're just driving some other animal mistakenly gets painted to look like a skunk. Pepe tries to rape her.
Oh, what a guy. I do really like Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah, so Bugs Bunny 2013 film, Pepe Le Pew 2013 film, Speedy Gonzales 2014 film.
Oh,
this sounds worse and worse. Here we go. In October 2010, it was announced that... which actor do you think would be voicing Pepe? And which actor would make your heart sink the furthest? Because it's that actor.
Is it Jean Reno or someone?
No. Oh, it's nobody French. But it's someone who really likes doing accents.
Robin Williams?
No. Somebody who thinks he's this generation's Peter Sellers.
Jim Carrey?
No. It's Mike Myers.
Come on.
Pepe in a feature-length live-action film based on the...
Oh, dear.
That worked so well with Cat in the Hat.
Yeah, I was going to say, Cat in the Hat's not awful. It's not awful. I'm not saying it's great, but, I mean... If that's anything
that's what it
certainly tries to, but Pepe, come on, you kind of got to have Jean Reno or someone of that.
Jean Reno.
Yeah, he'd be brilliant. He'd be brilliant.
He's not really known as having a great voice, really.
Not as much as Mike Myers.
He plays, he's the French dub of Porco Rosso, and that's the one... Miyazaki likes the best.
Oh, is he? Ooh.
Yes.
Who, Mike Myers, yeah?
No, John Renner.
I'm kidding.
Mike Myers doing the French. That'd be good.
I hope his French accent's as good as his Scottish accent.
Oh, you took them. Honestly, I was thinking about that character. Oh, God. Oh, you've ruined my Pepe Le Pew hopes for the film now. You've ruined it.
Yeah, Cat Came Back, I think. When I was a kid... They used to have like these BBC, I think I mentioned before, these BBC programs like Screen Test and then like a Disney Time thing where they'd show clips of Disney movies. And I was obsessed with wanting to see The Cat from Outer Space. Because as a kid, it was combined two of my favourite things, science fiction and cats.
Did you ever get to see it?
No.
Oh, are you pleased?
Probably, yes.
Oh, I see Born Free's on this list. It's obviously not so much cats as it is tigers. But it's not even tigers, it's lions, if I remember rightly. Bone Free is good.
Lions. That is correct.
Bone Free is good. Sorry, just digressing a bit there.
Right, the other thing I had got is our favourite cartoon. Where your favourite cartoon cats? Does Grace even have any? Discussed your hatred of cats.
Well, yeah, probably Kamuneko from Azumanga Daioh, because that was my avatar for
it. It was, yes.
That is the coolest cat, because it just that's what cats are, little evil horriblenesses things.
No, they're lovely.
But that cat is evil. It just bites.
From what I've seen of that series, I thought it must have been that one.
Yeah,
that's not a good cat.
Little grey cat.
That's the best cat.
With the head of Pac-Man.
At least it's honest, not like real cats. They're just kind of like, oh, I'm going to pretend to like you so you can feed me and then I'll F off.
My top five cats. I did make a list, of course. Top number one, Tom from Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, gotta be, hasn't it?
He's a good cat.
Watching Tom and Jerry as a kid, because it used to come on after Grandstand and before proper programs on Saturdays. That's probably part of the reason why I'm doing the podcast and getting obsessed with animation, is because having your mum and dad always say, oh, this is a Fred Quimby one, these are the good ones. And pointing out the other ones aren't any good.
Tom and Jerry was great, though. Is great. It still holds up. Not surprisingly, of course. Not surprisingly.
We may have lost Grace again.
Oh.
I'm back.
Oh no, she's there.
There we go. My number two is Sylvester. And also
Sylvester Stallone, cat.
No, Sylvester the cat. You know, fluffering thuckatash.
Yeah.
You could do Mike Myers' job.
And I also like that. I particularly like the ones where he's after the kangaroo he thinks is a mouse and has his son with him.
Oh yeah.
And the son is always dismayed at his father and puts a brown paper bag over his head to hide his shame. Oh, father.
Harsh.
Number three, Bagpuss.
Oh no.
Dismissive of Bagpuss.
Yeah, I suppose I can't really judge until I've seen the Biscuit episode or whatever.
All you know of him is those
he's pink
toys stuck in people's
windows.
Yeah. Oh,
he's
God,
a bit scary looking.
Oh, he's lovable.
He's not in a terrifying kind of way.
Baggy old, saggy old cloth cat. Number four, Henry's Cat.
Who's Henry's Cat?
It was a Bob Godfrey cartoon from the 80s about a cat called Henry's Cat who had a friend called Chris Rabbit.
All right.
Get up to all sorts of comedic larks in the Bob Godfrey sort of drawn with a felt tip pen type style. You've seen Rhubarb, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah, so that sort of style.
And
number five, five was tough because I had lots of choices. The ones who missed out were the Pink Panther.
Ooh, good. He's good.
Yeah.
Top Cat.
Top Cat's cool.
Brilliant.
He should be there.
Because he is just Bilko with cats. Again, two things I like, Bilko and cats.
I'm sure we've discussed this before. I'm sure you've told me you think it's Bilko with cats. Sure you have.
Well, there's no point in me saying I'm sure. It is.
No, I agree.
It even has one of the actors in it. Heathcliff and Cats and Co. Because I did like it as a kid. James the Cat. Do you remember James the Cat? Or are you both too young to remember James the Cat?
I'm not sure.
No.
That mainly is in my memory because you could use the song to insult people called James when you were at school.
What's the song?
The worst insult ever.
Oh no, because it's like, I think the song goes, "My name's James, James the Cat." And so you can sing that to people called, you go, "Your name's James, James the Twat."
Oh,
it gives them ample time to run away.
Yeah, so basically, we always used to call a guy called James Keogh James the Twat. After James the Cat.
And he was one of your pals at
school. Yes, he was one of my pals. Hey, I had to deal with people singing the blooming theme tune to Life of Brian at me for my entire teenage years, so I don't see why other people should get off scot-free.
Life of Brian's good.
Not sort of sang at you, though. Fair enough, Brian. We'll let this one slide.
But number five, I've picked Garfield.
That annoying voice.
Friends. show.
Well, animated, no, but in the comic books, yes. That's what I think.
Do you not like the original cartoon?
Cartoons were okay, but the comic strips were better.
I don't like the 3D one, the 3D CG.
Yeah, the new one is just god awful.
Yeah, it hasn't quite got the same snap to it.
Which is funny because
I didn't make a list.
Off the top of your head, who would your top cat be?
Other than top cat, it's going to be Felix the Cat in at number one. Tom in at number two.
You should have done in reverse order.
Oh, I should. Yeah, probably. What's top cat's mate called? Not Benny the Ball. One with the turtleneck.
Choo Choo.
Choo Choo. Yeah,
it's the pink one.
Hey, TC.
Yeah.
Officer Dibble. Choo Choo. What's that for? I need four and five. Goodness. I don't know. Lion-O from Thundercats? Nah, he's not getting in.
Who's the cat from
Pepe Le Pew?
Well, they're just they're just random cats that he tries to rape.
Oh, right, okay. Well, that could be my fifth cat. Oh, Stimpy.
Yes, he's a good cat.
Yeah, Stimpy. Number four.
If I thought
vaguely, yes.
I might have put him in. Who's the cat in American Tail that Dom DeLuise plays?
Oh, that's a brilliant film.
It's not. It's horrible. He's a race traitor. That cat's a race traitor.
Because he becomes a dog.
Because he aligns himself with mice.
That's one of my all-time favourite westerns. See, I remember this as a kid, and I loved it as a kid.
I can't stand any of those Don Bluth films.
But yeah, I can't remember that cat, but... Oh, that mouse was really cute, though. I forget the name.
Fievel.
Fievel.
Is there a cat in the Redskins Down Under? Have you ever seen that? Is there a cat in that?
I've not seen that. That was another one which I was obsessed with as a kid and never saw Rescuers.
I've got that on VHS somewhere. It's a good watch. Good watch.
Well, you're obsessed with it, but you didn't see it.
Yeah, there's loads of things. Well, part of the reason is I was also obsessed with Tron and Black Hole. And those are terrible films.
Tron at all.
I've now realised that my what I was obsessed with as a kid may not be any good and maybe not be worth checking out.
Everyone loves Tron, and I don't know why.
Oh,
I don't like Tron.
I really dislike it.
Yeah, it was Tron, Black Hole, and Condor Man. That was the other one I was obsessed with. Which was disappointing.
What is Condor Man?
Condor Man is
he owns a condo.
Michael Crawford.
TV's
Frank Spencer.
Yeah, yeah.
Playing a guy who writes the comic book Condor Man, and then he gets caught up in spies and has to actually be Condor Man.
See, that sounds right up my street.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
I like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Does he say Betty? Betty?
He does not say, ooh, Betty. The cat's done a whoopsie. That does not.
Should.
So were people still doing Frank Spencer impressions when you were at school, Anthony?
Well, my mum used to always call me Frank.
Okay.
Is that kind of an insult? So not at school, but when I got home, here's Frank. Because I was very clumsy. So, yeah.
And you wore a beret and a trench coat.
Exactly.
As a child.
You bet.
And the other thing I wanted to mention was these things. Nami Neko, which is what this thing reminded me of. And I wondered whether the idea came about because of these things from 80s Japan, where they took cats and dressed them up as humans.
Oh, scary.
I checked out that sign. It's
and the website now sings at you as well, which it didn't used to do.
Oh, really?
But that goes back to, I think, 19th century, where rather than actually dressing cats up, they just kill some kittens, stuff them, and dress them in clothes.
Oh.
Whoa, it's singing at me.
That's
this
right.
Website is weird.
Like, it's huge as well. It's really wide. It's like, oh, scroll across. What do I scroll across to? Oh, another cat's face.
There's like cats and then race cars. What's that about?
So which of all these cats, which would you rather have as a pet? If you had to legitimately keep one as a pet, would you go off best behaved? Mufasa? You might be dead. he's in the sky now.
He's dead, so I could stuff him and have him in my living room. He'd be awesome.
Aww.
I'm going to go with James the cat, because he actually appears to be better off than I am. Oh, he's got like a house, a big like mansion, large garden. He apparently can live.
So you could live with him as his pet.
Oh yeah, it could be Anthony's film, but in a much more
live action
less
role.
Hard, less hard R.
I don't know who
less
I'd choose really. Maybe.
But you can't have Garfield because you'd have no lasagna left. Tom, you'd always be climbing up onto chairs to avoid him chasing
you. You'd have to wear skirts, obviously. No.
Sylvester just appears to be a stray.
I suppose Felix, because he's got that bag.
It's pretty good.
And, yeah, and he can get I'm sure he can produce anything from that
bag?
Yeah,
it's a magic bag. I think he can change shape as well.
What?
That's pretty cool. I forgot.
He is. I do like the film, the animated film.
Backwards would be pretty handy, because if you got anything broken, he could get his mice to fix it.
Ah.
But then you have to deal with all the mice.
They got the kind of annoying voices.
We will fix it. We will amend it.
That's all right. Thanks. Just shut up.
I'm good. You got Professor Yaffle. Oh, yeah. He reminded me a bit of... He was like a woodpecker, but... Toto reminds
me
a bit of
Professor Yaffle.
He's a wooden woodpecker who comes alive in Bagpuss's shop.
Bagpuss. Ah, right. Right, okay.
And he's very
dismissive. Is Bagpuss a storekeeper, or is he...
No, they're basically... This little girl, Emily, finds things, brings them to Bagpuss.
She's a hoarder.
it's like an antique shop. And then all these toys come alive and check it out and try and figure out what it is and fix it.
Hmm. I don't know, maybe I'll check out one episode if it's as good as you say, but...
Don't fall for his tricks.
I will if Brian watches Rescuers Down Under and rekindles his childhood, I will watch that. Deal?
No, that's not a deal.
It's really good.
It's a terrible deal to begin with.
Now you've said you like Robin Hood, I'm not sure you even deserve to watch Bagpuss.
I'm going to rewatch Robin Hood, and I'm going to do a blog post about how great it is. Well, I hope. Hopefully I still like it anyway.
The animals are so cute.
Exactly.
Just humans with animal heads on. Because they just copied old animation stuff from old Disney films, like a dance out of Sleeping Beauty, and then stuck animals.
Is it loads of like regurgitated things?
Yeah. The animators who worked on it hated it as well.
Mm. I'll have to read up on it.
It's considered like the nadir of Disney animation.
Mm.
But yeah, furries like it.
Oh, man, I'm getting tarred with a brush here.
The evidence is stacking up against you.
The what, sorry?
The evidence is stacking up against you.
I know. Oh, God. I don't know what to do.
It's a terrible way to come out on the podcast.
Come out. Oh, if I turn up to KitaCon in a big furry suit, then...
Well, we won't know that you have, because we won't be able to see you behind the costume.
Yeah.
Right, let's start wrapping things up. Plug, Grace, anything you want to plug tonight? Websites, YouTube channels, Twitter?
I have nothing to plug, except Dynamite in the Brain.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to plug your show on your show. There you go.
Good.
So, Anthony, you got anything coming up? Any of these secret projects emerging?
Oh, goodness. no, but at KitaCon, I am doing the AMV Iron Chef, I think. It all depends if it still goes down, but at the moment I am. I am also helping Leon, who's been a previous guest, on his panel about Machinima, which is games and stuff. And I am on Twitter, at AntAskew, AskEW, and YouTube at Seng808, TSENG 808. Brian.
Right, I've got two things coming up at Kitticon, possibly four, depends if other people...
Yeah, I thought you'd do the pimping for our one. Our group.
Yeah, so first things first, I shall be doing Madstravaganza 6, and this will be the only time you'll see a Madstravaganza this year. It won't be appearing at any other cons. If it does, it's unofficial.
Because the world ends this year, that's what he's...
That's correct. I'll be handing out the poison pills at the end of the panel, and we shall all ascend to heaven. So that's 2 hours.
Limited pills only, so get there early.
That's correct. The rest of you, well, I'm afraid you're going to miss out on Rapture. yeah, so it'll be 2 hours of nonsense, probably Saturday evening, as per usual. So if you've been before, you know what to expect. If you've never been, come along, and your mind will start pouring out your ears. We'll also be doing something called Annie Song Armageddon, which will be me and Anthony and Leon and maybe another person, or maybe I shall just drag somebody out of the audience for each song we cover.
Oh, that's a good idea. I like the sound of that. I love putting pressure on people in the audience, as long as I'm not the one who's getting the pressure put on.
So if you listen to the Christmas episode, it's basically the same as that. We shall be reviewing songs from anime or anime-related songs. So at the moment I can say there'll be a song from Dr. Slump.
And it's going to be hilarious. It's
song
gonna be great.
From Crayon Shin-chan. Yeah, it should be all a lot of fun. And
best event of the con.
I'm even considering putting together a costume to wear to host it in.
Do I have to dress up as well?
No, you don't have to. It won't be like an anime. It won't be anime related costume, but it might. It might.
I was going to wear my furry suit. Oops. I'm just kidding.
Maybe relate to the theme of the. Because I bought this hat. I bought this hat at the Dragon Gate show, and it is the most Japanese fashion hat you could possibly imagine, so therefore there's no way I could ever wear it out in public.
Well, definitely. Oh, I'll try and get a hip hat for this panel as well.
The amount of... God, I can't even remember the word. I'm so unfashionable. But fake diamonds. It's got covered in fake diamonds.
Rhinestones.
That's it, rhinestones. That's the word.
Okay.
You're just going to show up with a rhinestone on your head. A giant one.
I should get a waistcoat covered in them as well. I did want to make a Gundam covered in rhinestones at one point, but
that would have been amazing.
It was when
hit my Gundam.
Yeah, it was when Krunk was all the phase and Lil Jon was showing up with his Krunk juice goblets covered in rhinestones, and so
is
I was
Krunk juice like an alcoholic stimulant.
Yeah, I think it's basically something along the lines of...
I don't know if you can still get that.
Vodka and Red Bull, to be honest.
Yeah. That's really good for your heart.
So that will be happening at Kitticon. You can... There's actual content on Awesome Engine for a change. I've actually been posting things which aren't this podcast. So there's a whole load of stuff up. Something about Susie's Zoo, a kids show about a duck and its toys. Poyo Poyo, a spherical cat, Mechton role-playing game, and another post which might give you a clue about the Anison Armageddon. So check that out. You can also check me out on Twitter, @awesome_engine. I think that's everything I've got to plug. Oh, yeah, Kitticon, I wanted to mention. It is... Apparently all the tickets are taken at the moment, but... A quarter have yet to be paid for, so if you sign up on the waiting list now, you'll probably be able to crawl over their deadbeat bodies to claim a ticket.
And rumours from sources I cannot mention, apparently they might add spaces when it's fully full. No. Don't rely on that. I'm giving you a ticket out of here with that one, but don't rely on that ticket.
Thank you very much for coming on the show, Grace.
Yes. No problem.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Thank you.
Good. It was a topsy-turvy episode.
It was.
To coin a phrase.
A furry topsy-turvy episode.
A topsy-furvy. Right, okay. We'll see you next time.
DynamiteInTheBrain.com.
Oh, yes, DynamiteInTheBrain, yes. We should really plug our new website. Go to that. Bye.
Yes.
Bye.
Meow. Right, I've got to stick all that together.
That was a good one.
Good luck.
It was a wild one.